And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 369, your week 20 fab preview as we're heading into August. Trade deadlines this Monday, lots going on. So we'll get to your team-by-team previews and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanVHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how you doing, my friend?
We are good. Just as you hit live, we're watching some Thursday night baseball, West Coast games. And after burying my guy for basically the entire Tuesday show, Teoscar Hernandez responds with a home run basically as we click live. So that was cool to see. Don't ask me what number home run it was on the season, Bubba. I know I can see that little smirk on your face gearing up for some type of follow-up question here. But had to enjoy that one. Those moments have been few and far between for me this year.
Yep, few and far between is correct. So I'll leave it at that for you. You said it. I didn't.
So, I will also say that Teoscar, on your behalf, is now tied with Vlade Divac.
Yes. Part-time player.
Short side platoon. Vlade Divac with 9 homers. So we do have that going for us.
Maybe he'll get to 13 or 14 by season's end. Big season for Vlade's getting an easy 15 the way he strokes it against lefties. We're not worried about that. He just grips it and rips it when they call his name. It's great. But
yeah, it's been good.
Yes, he has. And we'll see what Teoscar does. But yeah, good for him. Good for him. It was off your guys too, which is the shame of it all. Your boys, the Mariners. So
yeah, off of Hoppy. One of the worst pitchers out there. So
not Todd.
Oh well. No, Todd. Not Logan O, who we may talk about tonight.
Triple A Logan O.
Random trade. Yeah. We'll talk about that one.
We will for sure.
Yeah. Road Mariners against the Dodgers. It's disgusting. It's really bad. Brian Wu is just a shell of himself on the road. That continued tonight. I'll stop there.
You'll leave it at that. But yeah, no, we got week 20 fab coming your way. Trade deadline, like I said, it's heating up, I guess, kind of, sort of. A couple smaller trades, 2 trades involving catchers. You know, I'm pretty excited about life. But I don't have too much else, right? I kind of just want to get right to the week 20 fab unless you got anything else.
Let's do it. And prepping for this, I think it'll be actually a pretty big fab week. And that doesn't count any potential trades coming through. I mean, Monday's the deadline, but through Fab on Sunday. So yeah, there's some interesting ones this week.
All right, then, as you pulled up the weekly planner, which you can get on the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon for $7 a month, what do you got for us as we look ahead to this week?
All right, weird set of this. So basically the American League, every team plays 6 games except the Blue Jays. And then the National League, there are a ton of 7 gamers. So it's weird. You got the Blue Jays in the AL. Like I said, you got for 7 gamers. You've in the National League, you've got the Phillies, Nats, Cubs, Brewers, Pirates, Diamondbacks, and San Diego Padres. So a decent smattering of games, but for whatever reason, the AL is pretty much all getting an off day this week. Your Cincinnati Reds are split. They host the A's for 3 at Great American Small Park before going on the road to Washington. That's a nice schedule there for the Reds this week. The A's themselves, speaking of, they are on the road all week, which I think we know. It's kind of an on-again, off-again type deal. A's are on the road at Cincinnati, at Boston, with a split week on top of that. 3 lefties, 3 righties for the A's, so it could be tough to roll some A's out there. We'll talk about Mr. Henry Bolte when we get there. Colorado Rockies, your last kind of major home park that we track here every Thursday night on the show. They are split as well. The Rockies host the Rays for 3 and then head to, what's St. Louis? The gateway to the West? Is that what the arch is called? Something like that.
We'll go with that.
Our St. Louis audience is yelling at us. But yeah, the Rockies will go to St. Louis for 3 next week. So they're split as well.
Yeah, never been, but that sounds about right. I'll let that one slide.
Gateway to the West. Yes, the arch is called the Gateway to the West. There we go.
Beautiful. Let's get to it. We go team by team, and as usual, we kick it off with the Baltimore Orioles. They have six games this week, three at home versus the Angels, three at the Texas Rangers. Again, with the trades coming, this is all subject to change. Three lefties and three righties for your Baltimore Orioles this week, who might have a new catcher in Jake Rogers for the time being, as there's rumors of Adley getting shopped, plus Adley and Basayo are hurt, and who knows what the catching situation likes in Baltimore. Not saying go add Jake Rogers, but he might be catching sooner than later. Anything else with Baltimore?
Yeah, I mean, Rogers is as bad as Pozo and Trump and whoever else they're throwing out there behind the dish. So not interested in that. Not interested in any really streamers like a Dylan Beavers, who's been leading off against righties. That's tough in a three righty week. Colton Cowser falls into that category as well. So I don't really have any ads. It's just a tough split week. Christian Encarnacion Strand, since being a top dollar ad last week, pulling an Esteri Ruiz.
Ooh.
and not playing very much. So you hold on to CES, but you know, if you spent on him last week, but you'd like to see more playing time against righties. Kobe Mayo's been getting playing time at third base against righties for the O's this week.
Yeah, to start the week, two righties. CES sat, faced a lefty on Wednesday. CES got the start. Baltimore gets one lefty in the first half of the week, two over the weekend if you want to play those games, but going to be a tough week overall to roster anybody that isn't a platoon with Baltimore. Anything on the pitching side of things? Because the starting rotation is pretty much locked in right now.
Rotation's pretty locked in. I know we've had Ben Tidd venting in the Discord, or maybe our texts, or both, about Tyler Wells not getting save chances, and sure enough, hasn't had a save since, I think, July 17th. What do you do if you have Tyler Wells, Bubba?
Well, this comes down to, he's the leverage guy, which we've talked about many times. You probably drop him unless you're really, really desperate. Kittredge has a save. Rico Garcia got a save in extra innings. Wells is going to be in and out. He might get two saves one week and go another month without them. So Wells, I think there's going to be other options we can take shots on. Let's put it that way.
And there are other options this week. There are some closing options in Fab this week where Wells might be the drop. I agree. If you have no other, you know, targets for closers, then I would hold on to Wells. But it's been a frustrating ad.
Yes, it has. Boston Red Sox, they get six games at home this week, three at home versus the White Sox, three versus the A's, one lefty and five righties in Fenway Park, Ryan. Oh, and obviously Curtis Meade is pretty much done for the season.
Curtis Meade is pretty much dead, I think, reevaluating 4 weeks?
4 weeks, yeah.
So don't like that. I feel like the Red Sox will double down and make another move, which I think they probably should, to get an infielder in the wake of the Meade injury. So not getting too excited for Nick Sogard, Anthony Siegler, any other second base options currently on the roster. Do want to give a shout out to Andrew Monasterio, playing shortstop every day. And yeah, had a hell of a half week, at least in Sacramento this past week. So, I mean, that's nice. It is Sacramento, but decent skills for Monasterio, who, again, playing shortstop every single day right now. I think in deep leagues, if you need a middle infielder, Monasterio's 10% barrel rate, pretty much league average K rate, and a little bit of running game is at least relevant in deeper leagues.
Yeah, Monasterio, another one of those pieces that came over in the Kyle Harrison trade. So at least the Red Sox have two of them playing right now, which is a plus with him and Caleb Durbin. I will throw out, with five righties, if you want to stream Yoshida in 15s, you can, but only in deep formats in that regard, because he will play majority of the week and swinging it rather well. Pitching side, I don't have anything for you unless you can still get I got nothing, actually.
I got nothing.
All right, New York Yankees, they have six games at home after their full week in Chicago. They come home to face three against St. Louis, three against Atlanta, one lefty and five righties for, not even trying to be mean, one of the worst offenses in baseball right now. Team striking out like 30% of the time. It is brutal.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at you just look up and down the lineup right now for the Yankees, and it is, outside of Ben Rice, it is terrible. So I don't have too much. Spencer Jones has shown some, he's had a combo meal the other day. And you have a five righty week, and it's a good five righty week. Like it's a, I don't know if AJ Smith-Shawver is going to be in there next weekend, but
he's not. He's in AAA.
Yeah. But still,
Dustin May might not be in there either.
Dustin May not. Yeah. Traded. For that. Either, but as it stands, it's a nice righty week. It's an 11.7% strikeout minus walk for the pitchers facing the Yankees. So I don't know. I could see a FOMO bid on Spencer Jones this week, just because he has actually finally shown something in the major league level.
Agreed. I was going to mention him if you didn't, because I think there is something there. It's going to be boom or bust with him, but we've seen the boom this week. And you mentioned the matchups that we get coming up next week for Spencer Jones, which you have to like. And then the following week, right now, it's six righties yet again. And the week after that, six more right. I don't see a lefty on deck for the rest of the month, potentially, to face the Yankees. Obviously, a ton can change, but there's a window where Spencer Jones has quite the runway against a bunch of right-handed pitching if you want to bench stream him or whatever you choose to do for the coming weeks.
Yep.
Anything else with the pitching staff? They're pretty much like Will Warren. You should not be rostering him anywhere. Talked about that before, but everything else is pretty much locked in for now with the Yanks.
Agreed. Nothing on the pitching side.
Yeah. Carlos Rodon's a couple weeks away, but he is ramping up, if that means anything to anybody. All right. Tampa Bay Rays. This is not a Vladdy Divac week. They got three at Coors, three at Seattle, six righties in those six games. So Vladdy might get a game or two. No biggie. But what does that mean? And what did I tell you on the last Fab show? You can stash Victor Mesa if you'd like, because here you go, folks.
I thought you were going to give the soft spot a shout.
He did have a home run today to give him the win, but Victor Mesa, baby.
Yeah. Great week to start Cedric Mullins. Great week to start Victor Mesa with those six righties. And unfortunately, Vlade Divac might be stuck at nine homers this week, because he'll get the occasional pinch hit appearance, but that is it. But yeah, these, especially the first half of the week, it does get tougher, right? At Seattle, you're facing Bryce Miller, Gilbert, and George Kirby. If Kirby's still on the Mariners next weekend. Yeah. But the first half of that week, man.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Michael, don't call me Jared Lorenzen. The legend of Gabriel Hughes and Sagano for the first half of the week. Like that is beautiful. So get your raised lefties in there, especially the first half of the week.
Very, very nice setup for the Rays. Pitching side of things, they seem like they're pretty much locked into what they've got for now. Baker is just filthy in that bullpen.
30th save today, I think.
I think so. Yeah. So, it's impressive off the waiver wire.
I guess we'll know more, but the Shane McClanahan left his most recent start, but it seemed like a back, like a minor back injury. So I don't know. Monitor, of course.
Yep. Yep. Keep an eye on that. I was actually recording Fantasy Pros while it happened. I was just like, that's not good, folks. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see how that one goes. But if he's out, I don't even know. Rays love to do bullpen games at that point.
Yeah, that's what. That's kind of why I brought it up. It's like I don't really see. Like maybe they go Joe Boyle again, but
God, that'd be awesome.
I'm going to take a wait and see approach on Joe Boyle at this point.
That's fair. That's fair. I can't even knock that one from this side of the monitor.
Yeah.
All right. Toronto Blue Jays. They got seven games this week. Three at Houston. One at Chicago, I believe, for a makeup game. Three at Philadelphia. So Toronto's on the move, all on the road. Seven games, two lefties, five righties for maybe one of the worst offenses not named the New York Yankees right now.
That's a good point. I didn't notice that makeup game in the middle there. Day at
Wrigley. Quick stop in Wrigley just to go. Can't even enjoy Wrigleyville. You're in and out.
Yeah. No, that's pretty brutal. On the road all week, you get the five righties. I'll throw out our guy, Pinyongo, just because he's leading off against righties, but has not been effective. Nathan Lucas as well, hitting second, plays a ton against righties, but I think has like a 2% barrel rate this year. So no power from Nathan Lucas. And I mean, it's been said many times how bad this lineup is. And Vlad Guerrero Jr. won't be able to hit a home run at home this week. So the streak will continue unless he goes deep this weekend.
I think more importantly, you can pick up Hayden Wesneski, David Peterson.
Yeah, stream those, against.
Those are probably the only two guys I wouldn't pick up Aaron Nola. I don't even care who they're facing. But
Nola pitched well against the Marlins this week, dude. One run. He did.
You can pick him up and play him on your Teoscar Hernandez team.
I had him in a draft and hold. Would that surprise you?
No, not at all. Not
I probably have Teoscar on that same team.
With George Springer Jesus. And just name every old right now. But I got nothing else with Toronto. I'd just say Scherzer should not be in the rotation much longer, and Shane Bieber's probably going to be traded, and Kevin Gausman might be traded. So this is going to look like a whole different team by next week, probably.
Yeah, most likely.
All right. Chicago White Sox, 6 games this week, 3 at Boston, 3 at home versus Cleveland, 3 lefties and 3 righties, which makes another week that your boy Benny Biceps is pretty unusual.
It would not be the first week that has happened this year, Bubba. Won't be the last. Can't flex it with Benny Biceps. I don't really. I mean, the it's a split week and the White Sox platoon a bunch of guys, so there's not much there. I'll give a shout to your boy Chase Meidroth. He's pretty widely rostered. Really, I think he's like 75% really well. In 12 teamers. But yeah, swinging it well right now. Nice little power uptick. I think homered off of Bednar this week.
Yep, 2-run homer off Bednar. Yep, broke his like 24 game scoreless streak.
So it's maybe a kind of a start sit as opposed to an ad, but I like Meidroth. He's swinging it much better lately. Although hitting eighth most of the time.
One thing I'll throw out there with the 3 lefty, 3 righty week, you mentioned the platoons. It's gotten heavy as guys have gotten healthy. Antonacci has sat versus the last two lefties. Tristan Peters has sat against the last two lefties. That was not happening before. So keep that in mind if you're looking to maximize at bats. Those are guys we usually just plug and play because they were producing. It wasn't a Segura thing. They were playing every day and producing. The playing every day part's kind of dwindling with those two.
I did not realize that with Antonacci. So that is some Segura. Well, it's a little different than a Segura.
Yeah, he's producing still.
So he is producing. But if you have Antonacci, like, yeah, it's worth noting he may only get 3-4 starts this week.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind going forward as they're healthy, and they might make some trades still too. So we'll see there. Anything on the pitching side of things? Anthony Kay threw well, but again, he faced the Yankees. Sean Burke just hat tip. Unbelievable stuff this season. Yeah. Dominated. Again, he had like, what, 10-11 Ks today versus the Yankees. Just impressive.
Yeah, I'm facing Papa Bloom in our head-to-head family league this week, and Pops is on it. He started Sean Burke and he benched Brian Wu at the Dodgers. This guy knows
his
stuff.
Well done. Well done. He must be a Bubba in the Bloom listener. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Anything else with the White Sox?
Nope.
All right. Let's get to the Cleveland Guardians. 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Mets, 3 at the Chicago White Sox. Another 3 lefty and 3 righty week for the Guardians,
who are rounding into form somewhat, right? They've got J-Ram back. Stephen Kwan is hitting again. You've got DeLotter, Bazana, Rocchio, like 3-5. Again, nothing crazy, but like I do wonder if the stream against status has been taken away. Angel Martinez is the one kind of exception. He's come back and looked pretty
bad. He sat the last two games too.
And has sat against, yes, righties the last two games. So like that may be on Captain Cut's radar, Angel Martinez. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm watching this weekend very closely to see his playing time, because part of me wonders if he, you know, just coming back from the IL, knocking rust off, healthy, whatever, is this just like a get your head right couple of games, or is this a new thing couple of games? Because the production hasn't been there, but I'm willing to like stash him for another week because I know how good he can be. Yeah. But if they're actually not going to play him, it's a whole different situation.
Could also be is he's still hurt type of thing.
That's what I'm worried about. That's why I kind of want to see how this weekend goes before I get too aggressive. But let's say it's a coin toss right now.
Okay. Hey, for you, that's quite generous of you.
That's very generous for a cut. Like at a 15, you're holding them for a little bit longer, but at 12, it's getting real close to because you looking at all these teams, we're only halfway like through the AL Central. So many mixed weeks, we're gonna want to stream guys half weeks. So having an Angel Martinez just kind of screws up your potential rostering.
Sure.
Pitching side, as usual, the Guardians are locked and loaded.
I feel like they've rolled out the same rotation and the bullpen hasn't changed at all.
So there's probably a reason why they're still contending for the division, because their pitching has been there all year. That's been their saving grace.
They are pretty sick. And it's a hell of a race, the Central. White Sox are 2 games up of Cleveland, and then the Twins are 3 games back. So it's nice.
Yeah, because the Royals bullpen, horrible.
I guess we'll get there in a minute, but good.
Oh, we will. My God. Detroit, six games on the road this week, three at your Mariners and three at my Giants. They're coming for the Bubba the Bloom week for the Tigers. It's six righties for the Detroit Tigers. So what do you got here? I will mention that I'll double check. I wrote up Gleyber Torres last week because no one, he's still 35% rostered. He's having a great week. Like, he's getting healthy. I think he's definitely a 15, but maybe some 12 team legs as well.
Yep. Max Clark is going to be the big name. He's the cover boy of the show Art. And I think like a consensus top 20 overall prospect called up. And the Tigers play today. He's going to make his debut on Friday.
Tomorrow.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah, tons of prospect pedigree with Max Clark. He's 21 at AAA this year, 413 plate appearances. He had 10 homers, 21 steals with really good plate skills, hit 277. So the contact is there. The speed game is good. I've seen some reports. I know Martin Sokolsky was both in our Discord and kind of tweeting. It doesn't know how the power is going to translate right away, which is a concern for him. It was pretty much a league average barrel rate at AAA for Max Clark. And again, just 10 homers and 413 plate appearances. So we'll see. The other concern I have is, Detroit hasn't run a whole lot as a team this season. Maybe they just don't have the horses to run. So that, that's a little bit of a chicken and the egg type deal. But Max Clark needs to run in order for him to have fantasy value in 2026. So for as much as I'm looking at like the playing time this weekend for Max Clark, I really want to see if he can get on first base. Does he attempt a steal or two this weekend, or is he completely stagnant? That, I think that's my biggest question, because if Max Clark does not run, I don't know how good that package is for the rest of 2026. Obviously, the long-term outlook is really good for Max Clark. He's got the swag factor, as the youths call it. But I don't know. I need to kind of see how he looks this weekend first before I bid anything big on him.
And of course, he gets Sacramento this weekend to really, not skew things at all.
Could help.
But I will say, since July 1st, he's played 18 games, hitting .343 with four homers and four steals. So he's hitting it really well right before he gets called up. A couple of things just to say hi to the folks in the chat here. We got Kevin Hastings, who's sitting at a Honolulu sports bar but without his buds. They look like I want to sell while he's hanging out watching us at the bar.
Hey, see if they can see if the bar can put us up on the on the thing there. Come on, Kevin.
Then our buddy Jason Wenick says, Jason Wenick here. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're doing well, Jason.
You're the man,
hope,
Jason.
Hope all's well there. And then Pat Monahan says he immediately wants to sell Clark in my points league. I'm not opposed to that. He's probably not going to be much higher. Like, you can get a pretty hefty return probably right now.
There is a narrative out there that prospects' trade value is at their peak the day they get called up.
Yep. All right. When we're talking the pitching, I also want to mention real quick.
Yeah, catcher, come on.
Yes, with Jake Rogers out of town, Eduardo Valencia has played two games. Lots of pop in that bat. He was one of their higher-end prospect catchers, obviously Dylan Dirk Dingler's in the way for good reasons. But at AAA this year in 81 games, 17 home runs, hitting .262. He hit 24 jacks last year while hitting .311 between AA and AAA. So there's some serious power, nice hit tool. We've seen the Tigers utilize their catchers at DH. Like I said, he's already DH'd one game. If he is getting rather – like if he gets 4 to 5 games a week, this is a strong catcher, too, in 15-team leagues.
Agreed. I had him on my notes. Would have been surprised if you did not mention Eduardo Valencia. I think an absolute pickup if you need a second catcher.
Yeah, I'll be looking after last week's carnage when I was talking about like Patrick Bailey and Nick Fortes, right? Like two of the top three pickups. This comes into play greatly.
Any interest in Javi Baez real quick? He came off the IL this week. No? Okay.
Yeah. He's got to prove to me he can swing it again. Like I've had him off and on throughout the season. I actually put him in two drafting holds for the weekend because I don't have a third baseman.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's one reason I like to draft him in drafting holds. But I need to see him healthy and producing to get too excited on that one.
Fair.
All right, pitching side of things, usual suspect, Keiter Montero's in the rotation. Got hit around a bit in his first start. We'll see how this weekend goes in Sacramento, but anything with the Tigers pitching?
Not really, and I don't really see, because it seems like it's going to be a foregone conclusion that Scooble gets traded, so there will be some type of opening, but I'm not really excited about Detroit's options to fill in there. So, we'll see what happens. And it's the same on the bullpen side. Like, can they trade Jansen? Can they even trade Finnegan? Like, maybe you take a spec on like Tyler Holton, Drew Anderson. I don't know. I feel like it's a tough dart to throw for saves in Detroit.
Yeah, Drew Anderson's been pretty rough of late. So, with you on that. Speaking of rough of late, we'll get to the pitching in a second. Let's talk Kansas City Royals. 6 games at home this week, 3 versus Minnesota, 3 versus the Cubs, 1 lefty and 5 righties. Vinny P back to the IL. Mikel Garcia had his rehab assignment stopped after 1 game for more irritation in his wrist. I think you can cut both of them, at least in 12-team leagues. I'm okay with that. In 15s, I think you can still cut Garcia. And if you want to hold Vinny, you can, but not opposed to cutting either one of them, to be completely honest with you. What do you got for the bats in Kansas City?
This is total stream against territory right now. This lineup is horrendous. Jack Kags is doing something. Sal Perez has been a little bit better lately. The Lane Thomas train is kind of derailed last week or so. I don't know. Tyler Toll was playing a little bit more at shortstop, but it sounds like Bobby Witt might be back soon.
He's on the mend. He's supposed to be coming back hopefully next week.
Yeah, so that'll dry up and make the Royals lineup a little nicer. But everyone still holding on to Bobby Witt, hopefully get some relief there pretty soon.
Yeah, Mount Massey's hitting fifth if you want to really know how things are going. Like the facade could be worth a stream next week, Ryan. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, I mean,
he turned 29 today.
It's Facade's birthday?
Yeah, today he turned 29.
No way.
Pitched well against the Cardinals, yeah.
Okay, happy birthday, Facade. See, I can put we can put our differences behind us. When is Walbert Urania's birthday? That's where I may have to.
Every fifth day.
January 25th. We're okay. It's in the off season.
Pitchers and catchers report. Got it.
Yeah. We'll unfortunately have to miss Walbert's birthday this year. Oh well.
I'll have to make a note in my phone to remind you on that day.
Please don't.
Yeah. Anything on the pitching? Let's start starting pitching side. We'll start here before it gets deep. But I'm just gonna say, Randy Dobnak shoved against the Twins. Shoved.
I mean, speaking of Urania, this is the new Urania, Randy Dobnak.
Oh, he's just way worse.
Destroyed the guy last week on the show, and he's got like a 1 ERA with those glasses, man.
Now he's got a 2-step this week at home versus Minnesota and the Cubs. Against Minnesota again.
1.04 ERA, 4.86 Sierra for Dobnak. Almost as many walks as strikeouts. I think we have a listener question about this, but
yeah, we do.
I don't know, man. We all know what happens when I bag these guys, and it's happened with Dobnak, but like that's risky, dude.
It is risky. It's risky, but we'll get to that in our 2 steps, but I'm on board in the right situation. That's where I'll go with that one. All right. Let's get to the fun part of this show. Alex Lang was available on Thursday, didn't come in to get the save. Daniel Lynch didn't come in. He wasn't available. Steven Cruz wasn't available. John Schreiber wasn't available. So, like, the 3 best setup men, not available. So they went to Lucas Irseg. You could guess how that went. Then they brought Matt Strawman to try to still finish it off, gives up a walk-off granny to Mr. Cody Clemens. I guess Alex Lang is still technically the closer, but I'm just putting my chips on Steven Cruz and hope he doesn't get traded.
That's what I think too. I'm going to have some, let's see what happens the next 3 games, but I will have some bids on Steven Cruz. I think he would be the backup option. I mean, Daniel Lynch has pitched really well. He's got a 2 ERA, but he's the lefty kind of leverage arm. I'm interested in Steven Cruz. The season's already shot for the Royals, so maybe they can just keep throwing Alex Lang out there in the ninth, but I think Cruz is a good spec this week.
Yeah, because the problems are who's going to trade for Alex Lang is the problem.
That's what I love about this trade deadline stuff. It's just like, Steve Lang. I used to know a Steve Lang. Alex Lang might get traded. Like, who is going to take that on?
Well, I guess whoever. Well, we'll get to the Ohapi trade in a minute, but yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, but I was talking Cruz a couple weeks ago. I think that's the guy. But honestly, if I'm looking to get a reliever from Kansas City in the trade market, that's who I'm trading for. So we'll see what the Royals do. But yeah, Steven Cruz is someone, even if he doesn't get the saves even next week, he is going to he will finish the season with more saves over the next 2 months than anybody in that bullpen if he stays on the Royals. I'll say that right now.
I mean, and so. Did get the save Sunday, right? So he has been thrown in the ninth.
TDK, do you drop Fairbanks and add Cruz?
No,
I would not drop Fairbanks, but I would drop Paul Sewald, and we'll get to that shortly as well. All right, Minnesota Twins, they have 6 games, 3 at Kansas City, 3 at Milwaukee, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the second place red hot Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, which is just wild. Second place, they're 55-55, but well, I guess they're in third, but they're 3 games out. Semantics. Buxton, you've got your hip injury. IL, Alan Rodon is back in our lives as a strong side platooner, but we've always kind of been anti Rodon. At least I have. He hasn't really done much. So I think that's pretty much all I have for the Twins.
This is the, if you need a catcher, pick up Victor Caratini, as Ryan Jeffers will not be on the Twins more than likely after August 3rd. It seems like that's a done deal. Nothing's done till it is done, but it seems like Jeffers is likely headed to the Bronx is what it sounds like.
What?
So, okay. Yeah, I would. Nothing's done till it's done, but that's been like, if it's not the Bronx, he's been heavily shopped multiple places for teams that need catchers.
But like, maybe they don't sell. I mean,
nah, this is the Twins. They're still going to sell to rebuild and still compete. This is what they do each year. So maybe they don't, but if you can get Caratini for a buck, it's worth a shot. If it doesn't work, you drop him next week. But there's a good chance he's the starting primary catcher for the Twins for the final 2 months of the year.
Okay.
Unless he's the one that gets traded because they don't want to pay the Jeffers price. That'd be entertaining. But
would you rather Caratini or Eduardo Valencia?
I'll take Valencia.
Okay.
I think there's more ceiling with Valencia. But yeah, just keep that in mind. Jeffers, he should still be a starter wherever he goes, but there should be an opening at catcher in Minnesota after this weekend.
Okay.
Anything on the pitching side of things? Because we'll see if anyone gets traded. I don't know if they will. There's been rumors, but with potentially a Joe Ryan, but I think that cost a fortune to pull off. So I think it's pretty much stuck in stone. And Zebby Matthews is Zebby Matthews, everybody.
Yes, he is who we thought we were. He is who we thought he was. There we go. English grammar and sentences are difficult for me tonight. Connor Prelip's back. Do with that what you will. I think actually pitched well in his first game back, but I think it was an abbreviated. No, it was 5 2/3. 1 run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts for Connor Prelip. Matchup-based streamer. And Prelip faces, he's at Seattle, but that's this weekend, and then at Milwaukee for this coming week, and then Baltimore, Atlanta. So marginal schedule for Prelip, who I've probably already talked about for too long.
And as Pat Monahan says, the Twins right before the show traded for AJ Minter, so it's more bullpen depth for the Twins.
Yeah, I don't think that's any threat to Gomez.
No, Gomez has been awesome. Sacramento A's, they had 6 games on the road, but 3 are in Great American to start the week. First 3 righties in that game. Then they head to Boston because they face 3 lefties because it's Boston. So it's 3 lefties and 3 righties, but it's 2 separate weeks where you could stream however you see fit is what I'll try to say on that one. What are you doing with the A's?
This is a stream against lineup right now, especially on the road. So you want to do that. There's a couple things, like I guess Kurtz is okay. There was a hit-by-pitch scare. You've got Tommy White, Tommy Tinkles.
Tommy Tinkles, yep.
At third base, at least until we get Geloff back. What's the latest on Geloff?
Geloff is going to – I saw right before the show, I put it in the Discord. Geloff is going to start his rehab assignment on Tuesday.
Okay.
So okay. Maybe by Boston he's back.
Right. Wouldn't imagine that's a long rehab for – Geloff. So I don't know if Tommy White doesn't do anything this weekend. I think you can drop going into this road week with playing time being a question. We talked about Henry Bolte quite a bit as a Segura candidate, did not start against a righty on Thursday. Like if you want to move on from Bolte in 12s, I think you're safe to do that.
Agreed.
and then not for this week, but the Law Dog's showing some signs of life.
I was going to say I'd use them this week in Cincinnati. Three righties in Cincy.
That's true.
It's a good week for at least a half week Law Dog stream. He almost went deep. He almost took Chapman deep on Wednesday. He's still not back, but he's having better at bats, is what I'll say. And it seems with like Bolte and others struggling, he might get some more run here pretty soon. So this could be a good week. He gets Singer, Louder, and Hunter Green if Green's still in Cincinnati. It's, I guess it's 50-50 apparently. Pretty good matchups across the board in Great American. And then the following week, it's like four righties. And so he's going to get some pretty good looks in the coming weeks if he does start swinging it well.
All right. Law Dog it is.
Yeah. So I'm not like in love with Law Dog, but I could see a window where you'd be pretty happy with using him as a bench stream, you know, biweekly type situations.
Yep.
Pitching side, Gage Jump bounced back very nicely in his last start, and he'll miss Cincinnati. So he'll pitch in Boston next week, which is a little bit of a plus. It's just going to be a roller coaster with him. But like I keep saying, the skills are very good, and we saw that earlier this week. And he's going to have his moment still this year is the best way I can put it.
That was a nice bounce back from Jump, presumably on everyone's bench. But
yep,
good to see.
Yeah, other than that, I got really nothing for the rotation. And Hogan Harris got the save on Tuesday, like I'm telling you. I'm telling
Hollywood.
You, Hollywood Hogan. He tried to blow it. Oh, man, did he ever try to blow it. It was a four-out save and gave up a couple runs.
I didn't see it.
Fly out to the wall to end the game. Like, he tried, but he's their best option is the best way I put it. So if you want to play that game, like if you were trying Tyler Wells out, you should have no arguments to try Hogan Harris. Like, it's the same leverage thing, and Harris is at least getting the looks right now.
He's up to nine saves.
Yeah, he'll finish the season with 15 saves is what I would say. That's where I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
All righty. The Houston Astros, they have six games this week, three at home versus Toronto, three at the Padres, one lefty and five righties for the Houston Astros, who I want to say are starting to swing it better. It's just, you know, it requires Jeremy Pena and Yordan Alvarez to do everything.
Yeah, and stay healthy, and they are pretty much doing everything. The lineups, I mean, we talked about how bad Christian Walker's been lately. Altuve's not doing anything. Paredes isn't doing anything. Like it's
rough.
It's a pretty rough lineup, and thus I don't have any ads. I mean,
no.
Taylor Trammell right now is their strong side platooner in a five righty week. I'm not recommending Taylor Trammell.
No, they need to trade for an outfielder. They've been talking about that for a month because it's Trammell. It was Lamont Wade, and I write about him, and now he's getting benched. So kind of foreshadowed there. Like, I was not wrong in that regard, but their third outfield spot, and honestly, Cam Smith isn't good either. So they have two outfield spots up for grabs if they really want to in Houston. Pitching side of things, Ronel Blanco's back. Hayden Wesneski returned, so he'll be a big target next week. Mentioned he's got one of the really good stream against matchups this week that I was talking about.
It's a really good for Wesneski. It's Toronto.
Yeah.
And then it's at the Giants and then versus the Mariners. Like that's a nice set of matchups for Hayden Wesneski. I think Wesneski is the top pitching ad in Fab this week. I really liked Wesneski last year pre-injury. I really like the skills we've seen from him in the past. I think he's in the rotation going forward, and I really like the schedule.
That's what I'm only worried about because for some reason he's Toronto next week. But like RotoWire has Eric Geddy coming back from the IL and taking Wesneski's spot, which I think would be foolish because Eric Geddy was not good. So I guess we'll – and they've toyed with six-man rotations all year, so we'll have to kind of wait and see how that one plays out for Wesneski.
Yeah.
But he should be sticking around. I don't know why he wouldn't stick around. Anything else with Houston?
No, that is it.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, six games on the road, three at Baltimore, three at Miami, one lefty and five righties for an Angels team that likely won't look anything like we're about to talk about.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, why? Neto's rumored, Soler's rumored, Adele's rumored, Detmers is rumored.
Dude, if they trade Neto and Adele, like, what are we doing?
That's what I'm saying. They're all rumored. Like in... Because Neto to the Phillies, and I talked, like I was texting with tweeting with the Phillies guy today because they want to move Turner to third base and right field because his defense is bad. And then you got like the Soler and Adele possible, at least one of them to the Yankees. Detmers is going to be gone. Jose Soriano can be gone. Like it's
Maybe they should trade Walbert. Why not?
No, that's their future. But
and even the guys, I mean, somewhat of an aside, but like, no one knew who the prospect was that the Angels got in this.
He wasn't even a top 30 prospect in the Rangers system. They literally gave away Logan Ohapi because the Rangers agreed to take his deal.
It was not a salary thing. It was
they gave away Ohapi, and that way they could get Chase Silseth in the bullpen, which I've said off and on throughout the year they should give him chances to close because he's actually been decent. Well, the Rangers, the first place Texas Rangers, picked up Silseth to add bullpen depth.
Yeah, it was JJ Cooper, who's like a very tuned in prospect guy for Baseball America, tweeted something to the effect of like, yeah, we had to find out who this guy was that the Angels traded for.
Yeah,
it's a disaster, man. It's a disaster. I don't know, a little off track there, but Grissom. I think Grissom's an ad. I think Vaughn Grissom is a good ad. He's been on fire lately. Second, third base. I think it's like 7% in 12s. Who knows, again, if he'll be on the Angels, but swinging it well lately. I like Vaughn Grissom.
Yeah, since I had Zach Geloff in every single league, like between Joey Ortiz and Vaughn Grissom, those were most of my fill-ins in middle infield. So I'm not opposed to the Vaughn Grissom love. Just see what these moves do, because you're going to get some weird playing time, like Oswald Peraza could go back to short, which I'm not saying these are ads, but just if you're looking for playing time.
Peraza could be. I like Peraza. Yeah. Didn't play him.
Yeah, when he played a lot, he was playing well. Like, he was on his way to an easy 15-15 season, and that disappeared. But, like, some names in the minors. Maybe we get a more Christian Moore run, which is something that could be interesting. I'm going to throw out a name, and you're going to laugh, but when I was doing PT Tomorrow this week, I almost wrote him up. But I think I wrote him up last week. Kyren Paris. Just going to bring him up because Kyren Paris is actually starting to heat up at AAA, kind of like Max Clark was, not to that extent, but you're seeing improvements. Since July 1st, Kyren Paris is hitting .385 with 7 home runs and 4 stolen bases, and he's playing primarily shortstop with some stints in the outfield. So, like, this is a guy that could also get some playing time that everyone loved last year, and it just never came to fruition. So, I'm just saying, when if you're going to trade 3 or 4 of your players, you're giving prospects a chance to play.
You said it, not me. Kyren Paris. Make a decent case. You make a decent case.
You just want to say nothing bad because you don't want it to backfire on you.
It's my new policy, man.
Yep.
Screw this. The Dobnak's the straw that broke the back. Camel's back, whatever the freaking saying goes.
Starting rotation, I got nothing because we really don't know. George Claussen's the guy I want to see in the rotation out of AAA. I think he's pitching really well down there. So there's a good chance he comes up. Keep him on your radar.
Yeah, he's been called up before, and probably if Detmers is traded, I would think they'd bring him back up again. Or maybe Caden Dana, but...
Yeah, both are not bad options to see what they can do, but Claussen's the one I really want to see.
Yeah. Yeah, if he can get the control under control, for lack of a better word. I would need to look and see how that's been lately for
it's been better.
Claussen.
It's been
better. Okay.
Yeah. Anything on the bullpen, because I'd stay far, far away from it. It's my only advice.
It's a disaster, man.
Yeah. And honestly, if they keep making trades, how many save chances are we talking about?
Right. Like we always talk that the size of the pie. That's a small pie, man.
Like, I've seen personal pan pizzas at Pizza Hut
Book
of the month was bigger than what they're getting in Anaheim right now.
Same page. I was going to go the personal pan pizza route. Wow, that's scary. You went another level with the, what is it? The read a book.
Remember the book? The book. You read a book. Every book, you get the coupon to go get your pan pizza.
Yeah,
you get your little red cup and everything, and have a good old time. Yeah.
What was that? Was that Book It? I think it was called Book
yeah,
It.
Yeah, Book It. There you go. That's what it was. Yep. I can picture it now. A little blue and white logo. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Good times, yep. Man.
We just lost 3/4 of our audience. I have no clue what we're talking about, but look it up, kids. A little nostalgia for
Book
you.
It. I got the logo here. Holy crap. It's been a while. I can smell this.
I heard a rumor there.
Coupon.
I heard a rumor they're trying to bring back the Book It program, obviously pizzas, but every town has a pizza place you could probably work out a deal with to get kids to read more. I think it'd be not a bad thing to do, honestly. But this is what the Angels do to you. We talk Angels, and now we're talking about our childhood because the Angels are bad, bad, bad baseball team. Seattle Mariners, maybe slightly better.
Speaking of.
Six games at home this week, 3 versus Detroit, 3 versus Tampa Bay, 2 lefties and 4 righties for your M's.
I mean, nothing on this atrocious hitting front. They basically play the same players. I will add that Dom Canzone, he's just an everyday. He's not a platoon guy anymore.
Fuego.
He's been freaking awesome. He's mashing against lefties. He's awesome against righties, hitting third. For all the bad things that Wilson has been as a manager this year for Seattle, he has properly rewarded Dominic Canzone. So I like to see that. But in terms of ads, no. They are going to trade one, if not two starters. Let's see what that.
Brandon Donovan's probably back next week.
Yes.
What's that do for? Like, J.P. Crawford's been hurt. Cole Emerson hasn't been good. Like, what do you think?
And Brendan Donovan hasn't been good. Brendan Donovan's like 0 for
he went
100 in his rehab. Did he last night?
Yeah, he pulled a T-Oscar.
Pulled a T-Oscar. I don't know what it does. I mean, Crawford's been hurt.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if it. I don't know. I'm obviously very jaded at this point. Like, I don't even know if Donovan is an ad, given how
he's not a good fantasy player. He's a real life player. I've said that since day one with him.
Yeah.
But all right, I interrupted you. What do you got on the pitching side?
No, I just that they're going to trade at least one starter. If it's two, we're on Cade Anderson watch. So let's see how that goes. It sounds like Emerson Hancock is the most likely to be traded, which they can probably get the most back for Emerson Hancock. So I could understand that. And there's probably some sell high opportunity there as well. But let's see how it plays out. But I mean, in terms of kind of fantasy fallout, we may be a little closer to a Cade Anderson call up who has been so good in the minors, like putting together, it's double A, but like putting together one of the best statistical minor league seasons we've seen. People are, to me, to the point where like players are saving fab in order to, you know, have the hammer for Cade Anderson when he comes up.
Like, he's not walking anybody, which is the most impressive thing to me. Like, young pitchers don't walk. It's amazing.
He's been incredible.
Question for you, one of the big trade rumors swirling the last 48 hours. Giants potentially sending Elliot Ramos to you guys. Do they just knock Luke Raley out of the way and let Ramos play every day? Because you don't trade for Ramos to put him in a platoon.
No, I think that's what you do. Raley wasn't bad in the first half, but it's gone down they need something else in that lineup. And I think Ramos would be a pretty decent fit, actually.
Yep. Good OBP skills too. So like he could help you guys a lot up there. All right, Texas Rangers this week. They got 6 games, all at home. 3 versus the Giants, 3 versus Baltimore, 2 lefties and 4 righties. The Giants series, well, for now it's 2 lefties. Robbie Ray probably will not be making that start. I'd be shocked if he is. So we'll see how the Giants mix things up there. But nice looking week for the Rangers. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, nice looking week for the Rangers. You can do Jock Jams the next weekend against 3 righties against Baltimore. But I don't know, man. Corey Seager's coming back, at least for now. I think this weekend.
Friday.
But that doesn't do much for me in terms of ads and nothing else on this lineup. I can't believe this team's in first place.
Yeah, it's crazy. Josh Young had a setback. So we'll see when he returns. He was looking like a minimalized IL stint. That is not happening now. Starting rotation, I'm just going to keep saying Kumar Rocker needs to be respected.
Yeah, it's been an awesome run for Kumar. Wins in each of his last 2 starts, getting Ks, pitching very well. Yep.
And upcoming schedule for Mr. Rocker, he would get Baltimore next
current week.
Yeah, so Baltimore next weekend, and then at the A's, which is a little scary, but the A's offense is so bad, maybe not. So, yeah, I think Rocker's a bench streamer these days. Like, you're going to want him by at least half his starts the rest of the way. Anything else on the Texas Rangers?
Nope.
All right, let's head to the National League, the Atlanta Braves. 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Miami, 3 at the Bronx, the Yankees. 1 lefty and 5 righties for a Braves offense that is warming up, folks.
Yeah, they
outside
are warming
up. Outside
of
Austin Riley, by the way.
Outside of Austin Riley, who's gone back to being 2026 Austin Riley this past week. Outside of the Dominator, who's totally lost. Yeah, all gone. Playing time, Dominic Smith. Yeah, I don't really. I mean, Acuna's back. I don't really have anything on the hitting side. Yeah.
What do you got on the pitching side? Anything?
Nothing really. I was interested in AJ Smith-Shawver, but it sounded like he was just the doubleheader guy and got sent back down. But if an injury occurs somewhere in the Braves rotation, which it will, AJ Smith-Shawver is your sixth man and probably would be up. And I think he's worth looking at in 15s, depending when that happens.
Like, honestly, if you have room in a 15 to stash, like, he's probably a better stash than some other players right now. If you get like a buck, because you can get him this week for like a buck, no one's going to really pay attention to him. So,
right.
If you can stash, I'm not in the stashing business these days, but if you can, not one of the worst ones you can stash away.
Right. And between one of Granholms, Bryce Elder, Ronaldo Lopez, Martin Perez, it's like
time is ticking.
Yeah, exactly.
Miami Marlins, they have six games this week, three at Atlanta, three at home versus the Angels, two lefties and four righties. Marlins, man, they put on a clinic versus Philadelphia this week.
They did. That was nuts. Swept the Phillies after losing whatever number of games in a row. Griffin Conine's been awesome.
Yep.
To the point where, like, even in a four righty week, I think you can roll with him.
Yep.
I'm not even.
Do it. We need to talk about it, Ryan.
I don't even want to. Why would I want to talk about a stare? Well, I do this as a hobby.
Are you dropping him?
Hell no.
I say, are we going to do this for the third time this year?
If he's starting Friday, I'm starting him. He's good, dude.
I agree.
The one game he played this week, he had a stolen base. I think two hits, two runs. Like, he did a double.
Marcy went deep on Thursday just to make things
more entertaining. I know. Off of Nolan McClain. But, it's been a gut punch seeing Esteri Ruiz sit the first 2 days. Still ended up with, like, decent stats for a half week in one game. I guess he pinch ran today, but, man, it's been frustrating.
Yeah, I'm not trying to poke fun at you. It's more this, the general, everyone was excited for him for the third time this year. And once again, it's just like, well, guess that's not happening. So. Yeah.
I still do think if you can get a 4-5 game week out of Esteri Ruiz, he's worth it. It's just you don't even know if you're getting that.
Yeah, he needs to play at least 50% of the week, and you'll be just fine. But that has not happened, I don't think, many times this season.
And maybe I did fall for the report that Marcy, but it was out there that Marcy wasn't going to play as much. This wasn't like some fake thing that we were making up. It was actually, I mean, I don't know.
Cue the Dr. Dave track. Coaches, teams lie.
Yeah, I know.
I was with you, though. I thought it was a legit thing as well. I just didn't have need for him. Pitching side of things, anything of interest? Are we start? Okay. Would you rather stash Shawver or Braxton Garrett?
Probably Garrett.
Yeah.
Because they can't keep getting away with this. Can't keep holding him down for this long. And yeah, I'd rather Garrett than Smith Shawver.
Okay. That's about all you got to worry about in this pitcher rotation, because Jansen Junk and Tyler Phillips. Tyler Phillips has been serviceable, though. I keep saying that every week.
Like Ryan Gusto. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Spot start Ryan Gusto instead of calling up Braxton Garrett. Good times. Right.
Yeah.
And the Marlins are 9.5 games out of first. Go figure. All right.
Any bullpen, like if Fairbanks gets traded, still looking at Michael Peterson?
Peterson's my guy, but latest reports today is he's like the most popular name people are calling for in the Miami pitching side of things.
Yeah, like if I was a contender, I'd rather trade for Peterson than Fairbanks. Yeah,
that's what a lot of people are talking about. So it might be a moot point pretty soon on that one.
It's fair.
All right, the New York Mets, they had six games on the road this week, three at Cleveland, three at Pittsburgh, one lefty and five righties for the New York Metropolitans.
Let's see. I don't have too much outside of Tyrone Taylor.
TT.
With the Soto injury, like has played left field for the last five games. He always seems to be good when he's in the lineup. It's just the Mets have never really consistently played Tyrone Taylor. And I still don't know if they do. But if the playing time's there this weekend, you need an outfielder. I think Tyrone Taylor is good enough to fill a need there.
Yeah, I could see that as an option. Also, when you look at it, Taylor could get even more playing time if when Lou Bob gets traded. So that could help that situation as well. It's got to lock him in for a while if you get your way. Pitching side of things, anything of interest for you?
I don't think so. No, I don't have anything on there.
Yeah, we've talked Luke Weaver enough. He should be widely rostered by now. They keep trying to trade Freddie Peralta. Not sure if you want to pick up Jonah Tong. I don't, but that's right. Probably the play.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Phillies got 7 games this week, all at home, 4 versus Washington, 3 versus Toronto, 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Phillies.
Nothing. The entire team, as usual.
Yep, they're going to add players, and that's about as far as it matters. Like, Zach Neto would be amazing if they added him. Washington Nationals, 7 games this week, 4 at Philadelphia, 3 at home versus Cincinnati, 3 lefties and 4 righties for Washington, Ryan.
He's so good that they're all rostered. Though I'll give Jacob Young a shout out.
Yep.
He's been much better lately and is pretty widely available in 12 teamers, 16% owned. Jacob Young on the NFBC 12 teamers. If you need bags, riding a heater, makes contact and runs. And although hitting near the bottom of the Nats lineup, it's a lineup that turns over a bunch because they score so many damn runs.
Yep, Brady House is getting no playing time because Yorick Vivas apparently is getting the playing time, which is whatever. But yeah, that's a bit of a bummer. I thought Brady House would be a nice one to take a stab on. But
agreed. I thought he would play. I thought he would start regularly.
But you would think so. Anything else with the Nationals hitting or pitching?
No. I mean, shout out Clayton Beter. 3 saves this week.
Yep. The beat goes on, as they say. So yeah, he's gotten it done this week. So to the surprise of many people.
Yeah.
All right, Chicago Cubs. They got the 7 game week, 3 all at or first 4 at home, 3 at home versus the Dodgers, 1 at home for the makeup game versus Toronto, 3 at Kansas City, 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Cubs.
Are you interested in your guy Pedro?
I was gonna say, are you voting for Pedro this week? Sat today versus a righty, unfortunately, but it looks like he's got the primary set of playing time.
For
the Cubs. I don't trust it.
I don't trust it either, but it's a 7 game week. So if you get 5 games out of Pedro Ramirez, maybe, but I don't know. Until he plays regularly, it's tough to do that.
You and Michael Conforto in a week like this?
Should I be? No. I don't know.
No, okay. I just want to throw him out. He's playing too much, but I had to throw him out. On the pitching side, hat tip, David Peterson's looking not too shabby right now.
Yeah, it was a
and he gets Toronto this week.
Somewhat popular sharp ad for a 2-step in the current week, and he gets Toronto this next week.
Yeah, it's a good place to be.
It's a great place to be. So you like that. We talked about the facade earlier.
Check this out, the facade. So he's got that Sunday start against Kansas City. First start of the week's at home versus the Dodgers.
Okay, let's not do that.
Oh, many people will. I can already picture the Guild's tweet this week with the car, the Thelma and Louise car going over the edge. Javier's facade 2-step.
But after that, it's at the Royals against the Cardinals, perhaps. So
it's a good set of games for the facade right now.
Yeah, but no, you can't throw that Dodgers start. It'd be a 2-step, I think.
That's what I said. It's a 2-step. Yeah, to get the Royal start, you have to take the Dodgers start.
Ooh, good point. Yeah. I missed that. We'll get there.
We'll get there. But something to think about. Let it percolate for a minute. See how it goes.
Yeah.
Daniel Palencia should be back in like maybe 2 weeks. So
yes, he was being added by some sharps this past week in 15 teamers. So I think Daniel Palencia, I would imagine in 12s is still,
he's 81% roster.
Oh, is he 80? What the hell? Yeah. Okay, I'm way off.
Most of the leagues have people disappearing. So
that might be one where the main event is lower than the.
Yeah,
maybe not, but. No, he's 95% in the main. Okay, never mind. Can't really pick up Palencia.
All right, Cincinnati Reds. They got 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the A's, 3 at the Washington Nationals, 2 lefties and 4 righties. Those 2 lefties are in Great American versus the A's. What are your thoughts on the Reds this week? Matt McClain returned from the IL on Thursday.
That's pretty much all I had. And Matt McClain hasn't been good this year, so I'm not too excited about that either.
Fair enough. Pitching side of things, they seem like they're locked and loaded unless Green somehow gets traded.
I really hope not.
I hope he doesn't either.
I keep hearing Nick Lodolo rehab updates. I'm just still out. I'm out on him this year.
I dropped him this past week in a 12. I'm not even worried about it. You're supposed to throw like a 2 or 3 inning up and down bullpen today or tomorrow. And then
it's the blister, but then he's just like, he's trying to do different things around the blister. Like it just doesn't feel great.
How many times have we heard a guy try new grips to avoid things, and what happens next?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, not good. All right. Milwaukee Brewers, 7 games at home this week, 4 against Pittsburgh, 3 against Minnesota. So 2 top end teams in their divisions against the best team in baseball, 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Brew Crew.
All right. There's some action with the Brewers this week. Both Luis Lara and Cooper Pratt have been hitting really well. So maybe not ads because they're probably mostly rostered, but definitely
57% for Pratt, 39% for Lara. Both can be rostered.
Okay. And 12. So I think you can definitely add those two, especially in a righty heavy week for the Brewers.
Yep. Fully agree with you on that one. I like them. As long as they keep playing, it's going to be great. Saw a tweet today. Jackson Chourio is ice cold right now. So keep that one in mind. He somehow didn't make our Gene Segura list, but he's pretty dang close. So
okay,
beware on that one. Pitching side of things, Kyle Harrison's back next week. He looked good against single A on Thursday. I made a tweet like, Kyle Harrison's coming back. They can try to go a 6-man rotation. They can try to go with getting rid of their worst pitcher in Brandon Sproat, even though he's been pitching better, or they do what they always do and just demote Robert Gasser. So that's something to monitor for sure.
Which would suck for Gasser. He's pitched great, and the schedule is still pretty good for him, assuming he can stay in the rotation. So would be a bummer. I totally understand getting Harrison back as quickly as you want, but I don't know if Gasser is the corresponding move you want to make. Maybe they go 6-man, because they need to space out the Mrs. innings. Logan Henderson has had injuries. Like, they've all had injuries. So
and they're all young. Like, none of them have really gone that deep into a season, even Harrison. So
yeah,
I'd be gentle with all of them.
That would be my, you know, if I was running the Brewers, which I'm far from doing that, it's probably what I would do.
That's what I'm hoping they do, and it makes the most sense, but time will tell. But yeah, as someone that is invested in Robert Gasser because of his skills and his schedule, I really, really hope that doesn't change.
Yep.
Anything else with Milwaukee?
Nope.
Pittsburgh Pirates, they have 7 games this week, 4 at Milwaukee, 3 at home versus the Mets, 3 lefties and 4 righties for the Pirates.
I don't have too much on the Pirates. Like, I feel like I want to like Jacob Gonzalez, but I don't know. I don't know how productive he has been.
Catcher.
Go ahead. Oh, catcher?
Indy Rodriguez is back. You can pick him up.
There you go. Indy Rodriguez versus the other catchers we've mentioned tonight.
Him and Valencia are very close. I don't know exactly, but because Rodriguez will play probably 70% of the time. Valencia is very, very close. I'd probably still go Valencia's upside, but I know Rodriguez will play.
Okay. I saw O'Neill Cruz is doing things.
He's cleared for baseball activities.
So, hey, it's better than not being cleared.
You got to be cleared for takeoff before you can fly, so I get it.
That's right. That's all I have for the Pirates bats.
Yeah, it's probably a couple weeks for Cruz, but time will tell. The password got called up, played 2 straight games. Don't spend stupid money on him. That's all I'll say. And to your Jacob Gonzalez comment, I agree. We should like Jacob Gonzalez. The schedule's tough with the 3 lefties. Like, even in Thursday night's game, when the lefty came out of the bullpen, they pinch it for him.
Yeah.
So they're pretty hardcore about not playing him versus lefties, and that is a bummer. So just to add that to the conversation.
Yep.
Pitching side of things, they're locked and loaded, and by God, Jared Jones is worth every penny.
He's back. Thank God. Need that. Yes. Need one fab move to work out for me this year.
Yeah, Jared Jones is locked, loaded, and efficient as hell right now. So it's been beautiful.
That's been the biggest thing, is he can actually go. I think he went 6 his most recent start. So
I think he's gone 6-3 out of five, at least five in all four, or 3 out of 4, at least 5 in all 4. Still pitching like 85 pitches. So, yeah. All right, St. Louis Cardinals, 6 games this week, 3 in the Bronx, 3 at home versus Colorado, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Cards.
I don't have anything on the hitting side.
Me neither. Nothing there at all. What do you got on the pitching side? Because this could look different next week.
This will look different. The mighty Quinn. Quinn Matthews,
yes.
Is scheduled, I think, to make his debut on Saturday.
Yep, so he's pitching this weekend.
Would be available in NFBC formats. So let's see how he looks. But Quinn Matthews in AAA this season has a 16% strikeout minus walk, a 30% K rate, ton of missed bats, 313 ERA, and 92 innings. Some prospect pedigree there. I'd be very interested in Quinn Matthews, assuming he stays in the rotation. But that's another one where the fab price is going to dictate how he looks on Saturday.
Yep, he's one to keep definitely on your roster because Dustin May's likely out of town. Kyle Lee, he's like 63% roster. I just want to give him a shout. I wrote him up for matchups on Friday. Insanely effective. It's like, I think it's 7 or 8 starts of like 3 in runs or less. The last month he's made 5 starts. It's been 2 in runs or less in each of those with like over 21% K to walk. Been very, very effective for the Cardinals. He was a 2-step this week, so he was quite popular. That's why he's up to 63%. But he's another bench streamer type with ratios like that. And he's actually striking guys out now. I don't mind a Kyle Lee. It's a guy we wanted to be really good, had a horrible start to the season, it feels like, but has really found his own. So he's a guy I like, and he's got, like, for some reason they don't have him pitching next week.
I'm wondering, with Quinn Matthews up, who do they go, 6-man, or they're just going to?
Well, I think Dustin May's gone. That's the first.
You think they're just going to trade Dustin May?
That's the rumor. Like, he was given handshakes and hugs after his last start. Like, it's one of those, it'd be really surprising if he's still there.
Okay.
His next time through. So
because I wonder, I'm just wondering out loud if there's some Quinn Matthews risk of he's up for one start and not, but I don't see why.
There's always a risk, but Matthews, and then I was just Leahy is another guy that people should keep an eye on.
I like the Leahy call. Yep.
Bullpen, anything for you? Because there's rumors that Riley O'Brien might get traded, and that makes things interesting.
There are rumors that Riley O'Brien could be traded. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
But whatever. I mean, I guess if you're out of it, it makes sense to trade your closer, but Brian could be really good next year too. I don't know. George Soriano hasn't been that great. Like, I don't know if there's a good spec here to throw a dart at in Fab.
I wouldn't really go too crazy in Fab. Let the moves happen first, because they're talking about trading Stanek too. That'd be like the guy I would look at. So I wouldn't get too aggressive on a potential St. Louis closing change right now.
Okay.
Arizona, this one we can talk closing in a minute. They got 7 games at home this week, 4 versus the Padres, 3 versus the Dodgers, 2 lefties and 5 righties for the D-backs.
I mean, I kind of want to get right to the closer. I don't know. The juice, Max Kepler, our weekly mention against 5 righties? Maybe.
In deep leagues, sure, but don't go crazy.
I don't know.
Don't get goofy with it. But we'll speed through. Anything in the rotation for you? Cole Drake, Mitch Bratt, anything working for you there?
Nothing's really changed with those two guys, so no.
No, and then Sorokas might be back this upcoming week. Something to keep an eye on. It's a possibility.
Yeah, it could be lined up against the Padres on Wednesday, which could be nice, but let's see how Soroka looks.
All right, let's get to it. What do you got for the bullpen? Because Paul Sewald has been demoted for the time being, for the foreseeable future. Brandon Garcia got the save on Wednesday. Are you pointing your options?
And real quick, just tip my cap that I'm not wearing to you. You've been on the Sewald is struggling bus for at least the last 2 Fab shows, and that has come to fruition. Brandon Garcia got the save Wednesday. My biggest thing is he's the only lefty in that bullpen, and I just don't see the Diamondbacks holding their only lefty and saving him for the 9th. Will Brandon Garcia get some chances based on matchups? Sure. But I actually think Jonathan Loaisiga is is the one I would go after. You could look at Juan Murillo as well, but I think it's going to be some type of committee, some type of share with Garcia, matchup base getting some shots, and then Loaiza or Murillo getting some saves as well.
Yeah, I like Murillo quite a bit skills-wise. Loaiza wouldn't surprise me, so it's going to be kind of messy. But like I know Jewett, ever since I had him on months ago, he's been saying Murillo's the guy, and he hasn't altered that stance yet. He's still
got the best skills. He's got the best skills.
So skills-wise, I like Murillo, but Loaiza was actually uttered out of the mouth.
He was mentioned, yes.
Yeah, so that's why.
Torrey Lovullo actually, yes, mentioned Loaiza by name. Again, not as the guy, but as a guy. So
an option over Kevin Ginkle was the question. So.
Yeah, Ginkle, that was my favorite Ginkle quote.
Catching strays.
They right asked him the about Kevin Ginkle, and he just started talking about Loaiza. Ginkle just got destroyed.
Yeah. They backed up the bus on that one without the backup beeps going off. Getting warned.
I was like, does Ginkle have any chance at some saves? He goes, Loaiza. Nope.
Yep. How's no going for you? So, yeah, that's the only reason why I would say Loaiza's got a shot. I like Juan Murillo if I have to pick one, but I don't have a strong stance across the board. But it's not Paul Sewald, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and I do agree Murillo's the best. If you're going solely on skills, which is maybe what you should do in a case like this, it'll be a tough one.
It will be. Colorado Rockies, 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Tampa, which is 2 lefties and 1 righty for that. And then 3 on the road at St. Louis, the total of 3 righties and 3 lefties on the week.
What's up with Kyle Karros? Did he get hurt?
Yeah, he's banged up. He's day-to-day, and I'm not happy about it because it was a short week. I had him in the lineup. Obviously, he got sat for 2 games. He better be back this weekend. I already have him positioned. I kind of temporarily set my rosters tonight, and he's in my util spot in most spots, so I can get him out of there if he's not in the lineup.
Yeah. Colorado's another team could be active at the trade deadline. We were talking, I think, last show, maybe before last show, Mickey Moniak could be traded, but don't let that deter you from keeping Mickey Moniak active, at least against righties. He's a beast. Mascot's been playing a lot. Willie Castro playing every single day at a variety of different positions. So unless he's traded, Willie Castro will have plenty more playing time running. I wonder, like, when do we see these Rocky prospects start to come up? That could be another one in terms of, like, I know, like, in NFBC formats, that you've got to wait till they're called up. But, like, Charlie Condon could be up. Probably will be up at least for a cup of coffee in September. Zach Veen's down there. Like, I don't know. A lot of unknowns for the Rockies.
Welsh is very, very excited for Charlie Condon. He's been kind of saying this is his time post trade deadline. He's one of his favorite guys to see get a chance here. So if we get a Condon call, we've seen how it fizzles in Colorado. Just we need either Jake McCarthy and or Moniak to get traded for this to happen, which should happen. Honestly, the Rockies would be foolish not to trade at least one, if not both of them. But yeah, Condon, this time next Thursday, we might be talking about him as a call.
Okay. And Welsh, we trust. Zach Veen has been awesome in AAA too.
Yep. He's a Veen guy also, but like if we're talking prospects we have not seen before, Condon's the one, like one of his top five. He did a top five on one of the Fantasy Pro shows and Condon was in that top five.
Cool.
All right. We skip pitching in Colorado, of course, unless you're Jordan Romano. Enjoy that because he hasn't had a save chance all week. Los Angeles Dodgers, 6 games on the road, 3 at the Cubs, 3 at the D-backs, 2 lefties and 4 righties.
Start Teoscar Hernandez.
I was waiting for that.
The heater's coming. No, I don't have anything.
The only heat he gets, so he puts Ben Gay on his like back.
I guess we should mention Will Smith, who's like suddenly healed.
Healed?
He is. I don't know.
Speaking of Ben Gay,
he feels great now. Yeah. His neck is good.
All of a sudden, it's August, and okay, we're ready.
Right. I don't know what to do with that information other than, I don't know, wait. You could probably add Will Smith if you're desperate for a second catcher, but I haven't seen any timeline or anything.
Yeah, it still feels like he's at least 2 weeks away, if not 3 weeks, or he's not rehabbing.
He's going to have to.
He's just doing baseball activities.
He's not going to You would think he rehabs, right?
He'd have to. If he doesn't, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
So, but all we've heard is he's been cleared for baseball activities. So that was the latest news. There's probably more news. I have not seen it anywhere. Anything else with the Dodgers?
Just real quick, while we were recording, Tanner Scott pitched the eighth, and Edwin Diaz pitched back-to-back in a non-save situation tonight.
In a non-save? What are we doing?
It was 6-2. So, I mean, close, but it was not a save situation yet. Edwin Diaz pitched back-to-back. Does that change anything for you with Tanner Scott now?
Not yet.
Because I was surprised by that.
I am too, but then you got to remember that rat-looking guy, Dave Roberts, runs the team. And
can't trust a rat.
You can't trust a rat. You just got, they turn on you. So I'm still gonna keep Tanner Scott for at least a week or so and see what happens. Edwin Diaz did come in, he was the top of the order. Cole Young, Arozarena, who got a single, and he struck out Canzone and J Rod. So
yeah, that's the thing. He looked good too. So
yeah, so he's got that going. I know the velocity looked good yesterday for Diaz. I have not seen tonight's game yet, but
I'm just saying they have to be quite confident in the health to throw Diaz back to back like that right off the aisle in a non-save.
That's surprising that they did. I thought they wouldn't do that for at least a little bit, but I'm pulling up Diaz's page real quick from Savant out of curiosity. Vila was normal, so yeah, he's fine. He's still throwing. He was averaging 96.1. His year average is 95.9, so he's not what he used to be, but he's at least keeping up with what he was. So, story of my life.
I was gonna say,
us too. Toby Keith, baby. All right, so yeah, no, if that continues though for like another week, then you can probably move on from Tanner Scott. But that's I'd be surprised if they do that. Well, who knows? They surprised me already in the second day. Padres, 7 games, 4 at Arizona, 3 at home versus Houston, 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Padres.
Not too much. The legend of Ty France was picked up last week or 2 weeks ago in some situations. They start the same guys every single day.
Yep, and the pitching staff might have a few changes. Michael King's rumored to get traded. And if they trade him, it's Griffin Canning, Ramon Marquez, J.P. Sears, and Walker Buehler. Like, if this was 2018 even, probably pretty good teams. But I don't know what we're doing here.
I don't know how this team is one game above 500.
Yeah, they're playing really good ball right now. It's the crazy part. So just throwing that out there to all the listeners. It's pretty bad. All right, San Francisco Giants, 6 games, 3 at Texas, 3 at home versus Detroit, 2 lefties and 4 righties. Casey Schmidt done for the year, which means Koss is beginning playing time at third base. Matt Chapman's expected back, I believe, Friday or Saturday. So Koss's playing time will disappear. Andrew Susak is Daniel Susak is 3 homers in the last 2 games. He's been platooning with Kavanaugh playing versus lefties, and Kavanaugh plays versus righties. So I wouldn't get too excited on Susak unless we see playing time change there. Elliot Ramos could be gone shortly, which makes things real interesting. Might have a couple fill-ins, but Barrichotto is starting a rehab assignment, so he could be back by the end of next week. That's the name I would like to see take Ramos's spot if Ramos is traded. So Barrichotto could be a guy to get ready for potentially. Other than that, I have nothing on the hitting side of things, Ryan.
Covered it, as usual.
Pitching side, give me some Carson Wisenhunt. I was shocked by how many people did not want Carson Wisenhunt last week. I got Ronel Blanco everywhere. I guess I could have saved money and got Wisenhunt. I know control has always been his bugaboo. I get it. But he's made 3 starts for the Giants. It's been 2 walks, 4 walks, and 2 walks. And he still has strikeouts out the yin-yang. So,
yeah,
I think there's better days ahead.
I was pretty shocked. I vastly overspent for the Wiz last Sunday. I was like mid-high 20s in pretty much all my leagues and got him in all my leagues. So I thought the bidding would be, I mean, in my mid-20s was like double the average price for Wisenhunt. It was, I don't know, I was way off, but whatever. We'll see. Pitches against the Padres this weekend, so.
Tomorrow. Friday.
Tomorrow, yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But I think he's got runway. I think he's got swing and miss. Yep. Looked really good in his last start. Like, let's go. He's got Texas after that. Like, come on.
Texas, Houston, Cleveland. Like, there's a lot of good starts coming his way.
Yep.
Yeah, with McDonald done for the year and then Ray likely getting traded, there's a lot of room for Winston Hunt to have at it. And if Ray gets traded, I hope to God we see Blaine Tidwell.
Tidwell, yeah. I mean, yeah, that could be the speculative ad to make this weekend if you see a Robbie Ray trade. Available.
I gotta wait till next week.
Well, for non-NFBC folks.
Yes, Blaine Tidwell's a guy I want to see in a bad way. So, yep,
absolutely.
The other thing I'll mention, and, you know, never trust just for men, but Eric Miller picked up another save tonight, and he's got the last two saves, and he's been the ninth inning guy. Like,
oh, Killian got one tonight, Thursday night.
Yep, got one tonight. Killian pitched the seventh tonight. He pitched the ninth in a 16-3 game on Wednesday, so Killian you can get rid of for now because I probably just jinxed all of that. But Eric Miller has looked really good as well. He's been like the best reliever in that bullpen. He was on his way to getting that job before he hit the IL earlier this year. So
that's Eric Miller. That's when I picked him up.
Yeah.
The week he went on the IL.
Yeah. But Eric Miller, honestly, out of all the guys we've talked about as potential closers this week, is probably the best one to pick up.
Yeah. And we have talked about a handful of closer specs this week. I'm on board.
I'd have him slightly ahead of Steven Cruz of the Royals. Yeah. And Juan Murillo. So, yeah, I like Eric Miller quite a bit this week, which probably screws everything up, but he should be the guy right now unless something happens. All right. Anything else on the team-by-team schedule before we start talking two steps?
Again, juicy week for Fab. You got some closers. You got Quinn Matthew. You got some starters going. So, you got Max Clark if you're looking to shoot the moon on hitters. Good streaming matchup. So, I think there'll be some spending this week.
I hope so. I need to see some other people in my league spend some money. That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
All righty. Let's talk two steps. Diamondbacks, Brandon Fott versus San Diego versus the Dodgers.
He's the new Fott sod because he can't strike anyone out yet. Does that. What are the matchups? Padres-Dodgers?
Yep, both at Arizona.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think you do it in 15s and pray. Dodgers lineup's not as good as people think right now. It's still scary, but yes. His other teammate, which is slightly a facade as well, Eduardo Rodriguez, gets San Diego and the Dodgers. You start E-Rod.
Total facade, but yeah, I guess, yeah, you start it. You have to.
All right. One piece of news I forgot to mention with the A's is JT Ginn is expected back to begin the week. He threw a bullpen. Blister's fine. They don't expect a rehab start. So, again, as a two-step lined up at Cincinnati, at Boston.
I mean, you like that they're both road starts. Yeah, I would do that. Cincinnati and both Cincinnati and Boston are not good against righties. So, yeah, I'd throw that.
Full agree. Chris Sale is a start. coming off a disaster. The Dean. Versus the Angels at Texas.
Tough. It's a nice matchup.
Great two steps.
I don't know if you can throw the Dean right now, man. The Dean has been getting schooled. It's been pretty rough.
Yeah, I can't do it. Even Dean Wormer wouldn't do it himself. So
I could see it if you're desperate in 15s, but just the way he's looked the last few starts, I don't know, man.
If you're trying for just wins, if that's all you care about.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Which I am in some leagues where that is all that matters. So
yeah, we're going to have 8 weeks to go. So if you don't care about your ratios anymore, Dean is actually a really good two-step this week. Boston, Patrick Sandoval, the Irish Panda versus the White Sox versus the A's.
I mean,
yes,
I guess. Yeah, I have to say yes. God damn.
He's going
to
start giving in. I love it. He's only 12% rostered, too. The Irish Panda is going to get added to the list on the paper over here. All right. We got the Cubbies. Matthew Boyd versus the Dodgers at Kansas City. That's a yes.
That's a yes.
The facade. You had your time to think on it.
I have had my time. I ain't doing it, man. No, I'm not doing it. Screw right, this
that
guy.
Means everybody else pick him up.
That means, feel free to start him. 100% this dude will shove.
12 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 8 strikeouts. Enjoy.
Yeah. If he gets 8 strikeouts, but
that's up to that. That was the most probably fallacy part of the entire conversation there. Okay. Brady Singer at home versus the A's at the Nationals. Ouch. But Brady's been awesome.
He's been good. The national start just scares me. I think I'd throw it, but man, you just hope the Nationals have an off day or something.
Yeah, I'm throwing that for sure. But yeah, cross your fingers a Sunday, bench a couple guys maybe. Slade Ciccone versus the Mets at the White Sox. Slade's been so bad.
He's been pretty rough.
Can't do it.
But the Mets have been really rough. Probably not. I could see it in 15s, but the Dean or Ciccone?
I would do the Dean, hoping for wins.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Both pretty risky options.
We're not doing Michael Lorenzen, but we never talked about Gabriel Hughes is not a two step, but does that interest you at all?
I don't know.
The only reason I mentioned it's home versus Tampa Bay. But the following week at Arizona and at the Giants, that is a very streamable two-step.
Yeah, it is a streamable two-step for the following week. But you got to add him now, I guess, if you want to get him for super cheap. So I could see adding Hughes, benching him for the Rays start, and then going for that two-step.
And don't tell Mark Winoker about it. Davis Martin at Boston versus Cleveland.
Not the way Davis Martin's been pitching lately.
No, I can't even support that. Troy Melton at Seattle at the Giants. That's a yes. He's been awesome.
Otto.
Peter Lambert versus Toronto at San Diego. Yes.
Yep.
Randy Dobnak versus Minnesota versus the Cubs.
I mean,
I already got him written down.
I'll plead the fifth, as they say.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to give an educated freaking opinion on Randy Dobnak? We all know whatever I say, it's going to be the opposite.
The Uber driver, Mr. Randy Dobnak.
I will say no, I am not starting Randy Dobnak.
There you go. It has been put into the ether. I'll start him. Angels, Reed Detmers, if he's an Angel, at Baltimore, at Miami. I don't think this is happening.
Right. But the odds of this happening, but either way, you're starting Detmers no matter what. Detmers.
Well, for now, it looks like the Marlins have Ryan Gusto at Atlanta versus the Angels. Jesus. That would be a great time for Braxton Garrett. A great two-step for Braxton Garrett.
This is a no. Gusto, I don't even think he goes five. So
no, it's horrible. We don't know. For now, this is how the rotation looks in Milwaukee. Brandon Sproat versus Pittsburgh versus Minnesota.
It's kind of tough. No. The Pirates crush righties.
And Minnesota is one of the best offenses in all of baseball. And then you got Logan Henderson versus Pittsburgh versus Minnesota. I would start that.
Henderson's a legitimately very good pitcher. Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Ryan at Kansas City at Milwaukee. Yes.
Yep.
Christian Scott at Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Yes.
Yep.
Cam Schlittler. Yes. Jesus Luzardo. Yes. Aaron Nola versus Washington versus Toronto.
Oh, my God. I could see it in 15s because that Toronto starts nice. But yeah, he may give up six homers to the Nats.
Yeah, not doing it. Not doing it at all. Not happening. Bubba Chandler at Milwaukee versus the Mets.
We thought he was turning the corner a little bit. I can't trust Bubba Chandler right now.
Neither can I. But Jared Jones, we can play him.
That's a two-step? Hell yeah.
Yep.
Let's go.
I don't even need to see the matchups. Griffin Canyon or JP Sears?
No.
Okay, so there we go. Logan Webb's a yes. Michael McGreevy at the Yankees versus Colorado. I think you do it. Like, it's the road Rockies and the struggling Yankees. And McGreevy, that's scary.
I mean, he just got destroyed by the Cubs. I think he gave up seven earned.
Yeah. Like, if you don't want to, in 15s, I think you're doing it.
Yeah. I don't know. He sucks, man.
And then they got Dustin May here, but I don't think Dustin May's. If he's in the rotation, you do it. But otherwise,
yes. Yeah. I'm more confident in Dustin May than McGreevy.
Ian Seymour at Coors at Seattle.
Yes, of course.
Bieber, no. Treyas Savage at Houston at Philadelphia.
I would be very nervous. He has
yeah.
I don't know. He could do it in 15s, but
his control's bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah.
Zach Lytle at Philadelphia versus Cincinnati.
No.
Didn't talk about him. He returned on Thursday. What about Jake Irvin at Philadelphia versus Cincinnati?
That's right. We did not talk about him. How did he pitch today?
I can tell you. Just
whatever. I don't care. I would do it. I would do this.
Jake Irvin, 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 2 walks, 1 strikeout.
Maybe I wouldn't do that.
Versus the Braves.
Maybe I do care.
Yeah. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I'd probably chill then.
Yeah.
Not doing one it. Strikeout.
God. 1 strikeout, 2 walks, 5 runs scored. Okay. He allowed 2 home runs as well.
Yeah, great. More homers than Ks.
Yeah. So I'll pass on that one. All right, that's your 2 steps of the week. Let's get to some listener questions from the good old Bubba and the Bloom Discord, which you can be a part of at the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon. Let's see what the boys got cooking. Adam W. says, pretty sure I know the answer to this, but any vague interest in the Dobnak 2-step, 1.06 ERA, 3.8% K to walk? That's a yes for me and a no for Ryan.
And again, we all know how that works.
John Wilder says, when does Fab become a week-to-week game? Only so many more weeks left. Time to play for the matchups, right? Yeah.
I mean, I would argue it's a week-to-week game all season.
I've been playing week-to-week for a while with my pitching, at least, yeah.
It's definitely more category-focused now, and maybe that's the point of John's question. It's, for me, everything is categories right now.
Much, much more team-dependent, categorical, where can I gain ground, which obviously is affected by the matchups.
Yep.
Then SMMS79 says, any sneaky outfield targets for next week with average upside you might consider for 12s?
Oh, we didn't really hit on a ton of outfielders. No,
there was not a ton of outfielders this week. That Luis Lara, if he hits for average. Victor Mesa would be one I would talk about.
Jacob Young.
A lot of doesn't hit for average. Griffin Conine,
more of a power bat, but yeah, you could.
What? Tyrone Taylor, no, maybe.
Tyrone Taylor, yep.
Those are all the outfielders I wrote down.
Okay, that's a good.
Usually
good
I have a lot more.
Yeah, that's a decent crop, actually. I mean, I like most of those guys you just mentioned.
Perfect. All right, final thoughts. Week 20 Fab preview in the books. 8 weeks of Fab to go, Ryan.
8 left. Not gonna lie, won't say I'll miss it on Sundays. I'll miss doing the I like doing the previews more than I actually like doing Fab itself, but I think we'll end on that point. It really need to be hyper focused on categories when you're looking at your ads right now. That means everything at this juncture of the season.
Yep, full agree. So good luck to everybody this week. And again, if you have questions, you can find us in the Discord on the Bubba the Bloom Patreon. Come check us out in there. If we're not there, everybody else is chatting. It's a busy, busy place. Good place to be.
And I will plug Bubba's Fab article that comes out. Oh. You usually put out Saturday night. So I wake up Sunday morning and it's right there for me. It is very good. And Bubba, you have proven your chops in Fab this year with your own team. So I think I'm biased, but I think it's a major part of what we do. So
it helps me a lot, so hopefully it's helping others, and I think it is because there's a lot of people checking it out, so that's always good.
Yep.
But if you know, so there's another thing, look at that, ask questions if you'd like. But yeah, I try to get that out Saturday night so I can enjoy my Sunday, as you know how it is with little ones. We're usually busy and going from there. But again, good luck this weekend. If you have any questions, let us know. But until next time, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 369. Catch y'all next time.